So then it's Saturday evening here on Highland Radio. It's our final Saturday Sport of 2014. And what we're going to do at this stage is recap over the last 12 months. It certainly has been a successful campaign for quite a few competitors from the Northwest, really excelling and starring in their various sports. And to recap, now joined in studio by Chris Ashmore, who of course is a part of the Highland Radio team and from the Letterkenny Post as well. Jeremy Doherty from Highland Radio and the Donegal Democrat, and the Donegal News' Chris McNulty joins me as well to recap. Gentlemen, you're welcome to the studio.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Austin.
And we must tell people as well that we're just talking highlights here, and if we've left somebody out and we've offended somebody, we do apologise, but it's just opinions we're getting from the three guys and we can't include everybody. But you can text in as well, 086 77 00 555. That's 086 77 00 555, with your highlight, and we'll take a look at it in the machine here in front of us. Chris Ashmore, we'll start with you first of all, and we'll begin with athletics, and there's only one man really to talk about first of all. Mark English, what a year for him.
Absolutely, and what a year for Donegal Athletics. Certainly a rising curve at the moment, right from juveniles and various local, county, national championships. But as you say, it was Mark English who really got things going. He got off to a great start at the beginning of the year. He set a new indoor 800 metres record down in Athlone, and really that sort of set out the stall for the rest of the year. He quite simply just got better and better. And the real highlight coming in Zurich in the summer, in August, when he got that bronze medal for Ireland in the 800 metres, a tremendous achievement. And let's not forget that this is a guy, age-wise, who has really got his best years still very much to come. So to have got the bronze medal already, you know, gives us all optimism about the time ahead. And perhaps appropriate, not only have we started with athletics, but of course in the last week we had Anne-Marie McGlynn getting the bronze team medal in the team that took part in the European Cross Country Championships. So
that was a fantastic achievement by her, because she took a break from sport. Absolutely. And to come back and go up a higher level again from where she was previously was brilliant.
It's a wonderful story. She was a noted athlete up to about the age of 23. She took time out from athletics more or less for 6 years, didn't do anything at all, came back last year, got into the Irish cross country team and competed out in Serbia, and a year on helping her team to get a medal. And she really did play a huge part, because she was the captain of the team, and the last couple of 100 metres passed out a number of people. Four scored, she got up to 46th, and the Irish pipping the French by 1 point. So great for Northwest Athletics.
Chairman, just on a note on Mark English, there was a fantastic homecoming for Mark, and great to see so many people out in the centre of Letterkenny. But this was the year that Mark really fulfilled the potential, because we've been talking about him for a while, and this was the year that he stood up and excelled.
Yeah, and you know, Washington, that was one of my highlights of the year, my sporting highlights of the year, being present in Letterkenny that night when Letterkenny Athletic Club, they do things really well like that. They organised that welcome home celebration for Mark English, and it was a night where he was quite happy to you know, sign autographs, have his photograph taken with the young kids, and that's what it was all about. It's a fascinating story as well, the career of Mark English. He has, as Chris mentioned already, he has come up through the ranks, and he has got better and better. He it's been a significant year for him as well, because he changed coaches during that year. There were other events that he excelled at as well, or that he impressed at. He did so well in America at a Diamond League meeting, and he came second in that race behind David Rudisha, who's a world record holder. That was a big performance as well, and that was all building up to Zurich, where of course, I mean, we'll always remember that fantastic performance. And he nearly even surprised himself that day, because he suggested that people didn't expect him to do so well in the final after his performance in the semi-final, where he just about qualified for the final. But typical Mark, he's mentally tough. He knows he's got the ability, and he knew going into that race that, you know, he had a chance, and he produced a fantastic performance. He raced the way he wanted to race, and he came back with that bronze.
Certainly did. And Chris McNulty, will bring you in, because We've seen what Gaelic football has done for the sport, winning the All-Ireland in 2012. We've seen the knock-on effect back in 1992. But for the likes of Mark English and Anne-Marie McGlynn, they're going to have a huge influence now on young athletes, not alone Letterkenny, but overall in Donegal. It's going to give the sport another huge boost.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose Chris touched on it there at the very start. You know, juvenile athletics in Donegal is on the rise. And now those young juvenile athletes, they have something to aim towards when they see two European bronze medals coming back into the county. It gives them something that, you know, this is where I want to be in 10 years' time. I want to be the next Mark English. I want to be the next Anne-Marie McGlynn. I suppose for those young athletes now, Mark English and Anne-Marie McGlynn are heroes. They don't have to look outside their own track or their own club for role models and for people who inspire them. It's amazing to see.
Yeah, I think it's worth making the point. There's been an explosion of interest in athletics clubs all over the county, and it's great to see the, you know, a novel lot of young people coming into the sport as well.
Just any other highlights in athletics before we go for a break, Chris? Did I see Maria McCambridge's name?
Well, Maria McCambridge, what has she not done? I mean, yep. she's always there or thereabouts. Once again, taking part in the national marathon, and, you know, always has those aspirations of getting to another Olympic Games. And, you know, great credit to her. She's been consistently there at the top and has endured her fair share of ups and downs.
Yeah, and Mark English named Athlete of the Year as well by Athletics Ireland. And the Junior Athlete of the Year, another Donegal man, Carol Griffin. He had a great year. He got a PB in Oregon in the World Juniors in a semi-final, 800 metres. So, you know, they're coming through. A big year as well for the athletics in the county, and the fact that the Donegal Marathon returned as well, made a welcome return in August. Chris Ashmore ran in the half marathon that day as well. It was a fantastic event, a great family occasion as well, so fair play to everyone involved there.
Okay, thanks guys. We'll go for a commercial break, and we'll be talking about Chris McNulty's highlights on the boxing front after these. Welcome back to Highland Radio Saturday Sport as we look back at 2014 and the sporting highlights from our three gentlemen in studio, Chris Ashmore, Chris McNulty and Dermot Doherty. We've already spoke about Mark English, which certainly was a brilliant achievement by Mark winning that bronze medal. He's had a fantastic year. But Chris McNulty, you're an avid boxing follower and you've had a couple of highlights from 2014. And I suppose we'll start with the man of your local club, Jason Quigley. You want to watch him in America?
Yeah, I suppose for me, definitely the undoubted highlight of 2014 was being in the StubHub Centre on August 16th to watch Jason Quigley in his second professional fight against Fernando Nogueira from Mexico. I suppose Jason, over the last couple of years, Oshin, he's really been on a rapid rise. Quite amazing, actually, what he did in 2013, winning the European gold and the world silver. A lot of speculation then about where he was going, what he was doing, but in April he signed with Golden Boy Promotions and Oscar De La Hoya, I suppose the boxing equivalent of a young fella from Balbuffet going to sign with Barcelona. He was going to the top, really the top of the tree. The facilities he has out there, the coaches, the sparring he has, it's quite amazing where Jason has gone. And he's 3-0 after his first three professional fights, beat Howard Reese after just 82 seconds in the MGM Grand and Las Vegas, then took him just three rounds to beat Nahira in August, and he followed that up with 2 minutes 39 seconds stoppage of Greg McCoy in Boston on October 30th. The big thing about Jason so far, the three fights have all come on huge boxing bills. Like, you know, they really have sort of fast-tracked him. He said all along, like, his ultimate goal is what Andy Lee achieved last week, and that's to bring a middleweight world belt back to Donegal. That's a wee bit off yet, but I know I was just actually talking to him last night over in Stranorder, and he's hoping now to get maybe two or three fights this side of Easter, another two or three, so he's hoping for maybe six fights next year. Definitely another man worth keeping an eye on. You know, he's had a fantastic year, and
next year's going to be a big one for him. There was a lot of other action as well in boxing, guys. Michael Geller in the Youth Olympics, and not forgetting about the Derry boys that were in Commonwealth action.
Yeah, I suppose the two boys from Derry, Conor Coyle and Sean McGlinchey, both winning bronze medals over in Glasgow. Conor at middleweight and Sean McGlinchey at light heavyweight. Both coming again from good clubs in Derry and the Commonwealths. A great chance for boxers like those two boys to put themselves on the world stage, coming back with bronze. And as you mentioned, Michael Gallagher, another product of the Quigley stable in Stranorder, coming back with a bronze medal from the Youth Olympics again, competing against the best in the world and coming back with a medal.
And he also won his 10th Irish title, so, you know, that just shows the pedigree there. I think a point worth taking up about Jason Quigley, it's his transition from the amateur to the professional status as well. You know, it's a big challenge. You're away from home, and it's a totally new ball game. And as Chris said, you know, he's certainly come through with flying colours. And like Mark English, two really good guys who are very well grounded and really have the head screwed on. And I think to compete at the very top level, you know, the mental attitude as well is absolutely key.
It is. On to motorsport, I think, guys, where we go to talk about Declan Boyle and Brian Boyle, the cousins from Letcher McAward, who had an outstanding year.
What a year.
And to do what they've done, it's a very hard thing to do, to win the National, the Tarmac Championship in the same year, because there's a lot of effort put into that and a lot of money put into that, and to pull it off in the car that actually won it the previous time with Tim McNulty. But the two boys at the top of their sport, and this country at the moment has been a brilliant one for them.
And I think it all really began back in Galway, the international rally down there. And again, it was a case of they got the season off to a good start and they really never looked back. And certainly when they came off the final stage here in Donegal at the end of the Donegal International Rally, I think a lot of people sensed that, you know, it was one of the best Donegal rallies in many a year. And the two guys have played their part. Once again, we're talking about icons and people who you look up to. Great ambassadors for the sport. And the interest is phenomenal.
And they're not actually rallying that long. I think maybe 7 or 8 years they're at it, compared to some of the guys who are driving around them. They've got a lot more experience. So the raw talent that Declan Boyle has driving a rally car.
You know, Donegal as well, it never ceases to amaze me how Donegal has this production line of talent in that sport as well, Oisin. But they were probably half expected to win Donegal, you know, in 2013. I think they were unfortunate, weren't they, in one of the early stages. So people were even happier to see them come through in 2014 and get that success that they so richly deserved. Mm-hmm.
Declan Geller and Ryan Moore as well won a modified section in the Tarmac Championship, which is also a difficult thing to do. And they followed up from what they'd done the previous year in the National Championship. And he's another very, very talented driver.
Yeah, and he's had a fantastic year himself, and Ryan Moore winning the two-wheel drive Starlet, the modified section of the Tarmac Championship. Really consistent year from the two guys, and like the Boyles, two guys really at the top of their game, you know, in a sport where there's no margin of error in rallying. You know, if you make the slightest of mistake, you're gone, your rally's over. Like Declan, as Dermot alluded to, last year in Donegal, he didn't come off, I think it was the second stage out in Breenan.
Yeah.
Remember, Oisin, we were there and there was no sign of Declan, and all the talk had been about this first Donegal driver since James Cullen. He was gone on the first day, then down in the Rally of the Rosses in October, he didn't finish that either. And there was almost a sense that as Declan Boyle jinxed here, so there was probably a big mental preparation for Declan going into this year. But again, he got off to a good start on the Friday and really took it from there.
He was going to have to try and do what he'd done this year in 2015 for next year. But that's the motorsport highlights. We'll talk about a horse racing, and a young jockey from Letterkenny, Martin Harley, had mixed the year. Now he had a really, really bad fall, and to come back the way that he did and then take some of the off the big winners, that he had to dig deep there, and I'm sure he went through a lot of pain with that injury and to do with it. Now I know he's gone from body as well, but he's still going to be number one. They're going to call him when required. But again, we're on about raw talent.
Yeah, I think he'd still over 70 winners this year, and of course back in March at Lingfield he had that terrible fall, and he's quite matter of fact about when he looks back on it. I mean, it's part of the course, excuse the pun, if you're a jockey, you know, you do get falls. I mean, we look at AJ McCoy and you regularly get a collarbone or a shoulder. But in Martin Harley's case, I mean, it was a very serious injury, vertebrae in the back and badly damaged ribs. And he was back, made a great recovery. And certainly it wasn't as good a year as the previous one, but we really will expect him to go on further in 2015.
Yeah, and to do it the way he came back from the injury as well, that the rest of these guys that own the horses and the trainers and are looking at Martin Harley now that he's become maybe more available, not being with body anymore.
Yeah, and I suppose that day he came off at Lingfield, you know, you talk again about that mental preparation. Like Martin Harley came off a horse. The horse was actually put down and he's on the floor, and maybe 10 or 12 horses coming galloping over the top of you, and you know, to have that image and come back less than 8 weeks later and to start riding winners. I mean, it's 79 winners for the year, 13 of them coming in June alone. Like, it's really crazy stuff where he has gone to again. You know, we talked about the rise of the likes of Declan Boyle, Jason Quigley and Mark English, but similarly to come from the pony circuit in Donegal of just maybe 5 years ago to where he is now, like apprentice Jockey of the Year a couple of years back, and now to be riding winners like you, the big one back in October in the pre-Royal Oak on Tac de Boistrin for Marco Botti. And again, the fact that Botti's going to keep him as his number one call next year, it probably says a lot about where Martin Hartley's gone.
It does, yeah. Still to come in a review of the year, we've got soccer and Gaelic games. Of course, Donegal reclaimed the Anglo-Celt Cup, but unfortunately lost out in the All-Ireland final. Plus, there was a great run for the minors, and in soccer, Van Harps reaching the semi-final of the FAI Senior Cup, and Cockhill Celtic doing the double-double. That's on the way in a review of the year after this commercial break. Welcome back to Highland Radio Saturday Sport as we recap some of the top sporting stories from 2014. Chris Ashmore, Chris McNulty and Jeremy Doherty join me in studio. We've already looked at athletics, boxing, motorsport and horse racing, but we're now going to turn our attention to soccer. And the three guys in studio have a very keen interest in soccer, and in particular Fun Harps. Jeremy is our Fun Harps correspondent. And I suppose league-wise, Jeremy, things didn't go according to plan that they had hoped for Ollie Horgan's side. But to reach the semi-final of the Cup and going on to go on one of the giants, St Patrick's Athletic, that will be the highlight for the Fun Park Club.
Yeah, and it was. The Cup run kept the interest going among supporters right throughout the season. It was... quite fortunate that Harps got drawn against non-league opposition in their opening game, Belgrove Home Farm. They played Wexford and they played Avondale, another non-league side. Now, that was away from home down in Cork. It was a tricky fixture. And victory in the replay then set up that semi-final. I remember we chatted to Ollie Horgan after that game against Avondale when they got through to the last four, and the cup draw was going to be a few days later. And he said, listen, Derry City, Shamrock Rovers, St Pat's, and then it was Fin Harps, you know, so they were really going to be the underdogs. He wanted a home tie, and he said to us that night, the worst draw you could get would be St Pat's away from home, and that's exactly what happened. So, unfortunately, it didn't go well for them that day, but I have to say, we were up at the game, and it was a fantastic occasion. Big crowd up from Harps, showed the support that's there.
It was a buzz that was missing for quite a few years.
Yeah,
the run on the cup and the cup, and to get to the semi final, because the build up to that day of the last four tie was brilliant.
Yeah, it was, and I mean, for the players themselves, it was great for them just to get a feel and experience what it's like at the top level in the game in senior football in Ireland, and it gave them a chance to play at Richmond Park on front of the live TV audience. And okay, they got a bit of a trimming on the day against St Pat's. But it was, as I say, it was a great occasion, and it shows that, you know, if they put the effort in this season, you just don't know what's up ahead of them.
Yeah, I suppose Jeremy touched on the supporters thing there, and if you look at the Harps squad now, I mean, bar Kevin McHugh, I think, and Michael Funston, very few of those guys have experienced big nights at Finn Park, and there was something special that night to beat Avondale, because I think the new players, if you want to call them that, or the young players in the squad, they began to realise that, you know, hang on, there is real potential, because I think they were hearing this potential in the sleeping giant for so long, they maybe didn't quite believe it. But that night, and again, when they seen 600 people going to watch them, like, it was maybe three times some of the crowd for league games in recent years, it really does show that, you know, there really is potential at Fin Harps if they can somehow manage to kick on and maybe make a challenge for the first division.
And maybe it was a case of wishful thinking here in the Northwest, because it could have been a Derry Fin Harps final. It wasn't to be the way things panned out. And St Pat's, I don't think anybody will really begrudge the fact that they won the Cup after a lean spell. I think it was 7-8 times they've been in a Cup final and lost. You know, they were beginning to wonder, a bit like the Mayo footballers, were they ever going to get that sort of victory there? Just one other point from, I think, was very evident for Harps during the season. There was a run around the Cup time that Harps travelled over 2,000 miles in, I think, the space of 5 weeks. I mean, the commitment there for guys who are not there for big money, I mean, it's pure dedication. There's no passengers in the club. And for Ollie Horgan, you know, travelling all over the country, you have to give him great credit for that.
Yeah, I think somebody really should calculate Ollie's own road miles over the season. It's quite phenomenal, the mileage that Ollie has done to even scout opponents over the season. Like, you know, time and time again, if Harps had a game on a Friday night, Ollie was going to wait in maybe Cove or Longford on a Saturday night, Shamrock Rovers on a Sunday. He never stopped.
Yeah, big commitment.
Yeah, yeah. And that was his first year in charge as well at senior level, Oisín. Mm. And I think the committee members, the guys behind the scenes at Harps, you know, were pleasantly surprised by, you know, the professionalism, the preparation that Ollie brought to the club. And we're looking forward now to 2015, where maybe Harps can bring it on just another wee step further.
Yeah, we mentioned Derry City just, Chris, obviously disappointed in losing the final, and we've seen this week now the likes of Rory Patterson and Shane McElhinney are going to be transfer listed because there's budget constraints in there, and maybe it's a time of change at Derry City, we're expecting.
It is, obviously, they got off to a bad start last season, there was a whole Roddy Collins affair, and they never really recovered in the league, but... perhaps the cup run maybe put a slight gloss on, maybe an artificial gloss on things, because they are going to struggle next season. Like Finn Harps, the budget isn't there, and that Premier Division next year is going to be tough for them.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Ulster Senior League. Cockhill Celtic doing the double-double once again. Kingpins of the Ulster Senior League under Donal O'Brien, and we have to remember as well, he's part of the management team that has tasted success in the interleague competition. So Cockhill, I suppose, continuing on with it, what they had left off, Chris?
Yeah, they've really raised the bar, Cockhill Celtic. You know, I mean, anybody talks about the history of the Ulster Senior League, you go back to the great Fannett team, but I think, you know, the likes of Quigley's Point, Kildrum, Letterkenny Rovers have all had their periods where they've won the league, but I think this Cockhill Celtic team is the closest to that Fannett team of creating something of a dynasty, if you will, where they can just dominate the thing. I mean, what Donal has done down there has been absolutely fantastic. He has a great group of players, and I suppose after winning the double-double, you know, something that hasn't been done since the late 90s, two doubles in successive seasons, their thoughts now turn into the Intermediate Cup. And I know last year they had real designs on winning the Intermediate Cup and made no secret of it. They were really disappointed to lose to St Mochta's. They have a chance now in 2 weeks' time to get a bit of revenge there. And again, you know, you look at Donal's squad, the like of Gavin Cullen, Jerry Gill, Johnny Havlin, Garvin Freel and Mark Moore have all had periods at Finn Harps, and Malachy McDermott, the Intermediate Player of the Year. You know, they should be well poised this year to push on.
And this change now to Wonder Football for the Ulster Senior League going back, I suppose now looking into the future, is this going to help Cockhill Celtic and the drive and try and get this FA Intermediate Cup, Jeremy?
You'd like to think it will. You'd like to think that they can benefit from that, especially when it comes to the FA Intermediate Cup. That's been a problem. You know, the competition has been played when the Ulster Senior League has been out of season. Cockhill Celtic... are a progressive club. They have a fantastic underage structure. They have a, you know, it's a great family feel to that club as well. We've got to remember as well, they were in the FAI Cup this year. They went to Drogheda. They were leading 2-1, I think, at one stage in that game, got beat 4-2, and they end up took a big crowd down with them. So they've been flying the flag for the Ulster Senior League and certainly haven't let themselves down. Fair play to them. Donal O'Brien, an absolute gentleman, and he's done great stuff down there.
Worth also making the point that because of the way the seasons have been, they really haven't had an off season for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, great commitment again from all the players.
It certainly is. Elsewhere in soccer, we've seen quite a few Donegal players, male and female, on Teams of the Year. Seamus Coleman, Kira Grant, Karen McHughes excelling, moving away from Bradford and to Plymouth. And we see it every week. We read about it. We see it on the TV. Donegal at soccer level is very strong, and we've seen these players at home and indeed across the water and England, and we're always well represented, Jim.
I think as well, I mean, there's no doubt about that, Austin, you're 100% right. The reason perhaps for all that success is the structure at underage level, and credit where credit's due, those involved at schoolboy level, the Donegal Schoolboys League. I mean, there's been all sorts of problems down through the years for all sorts of reasons, but they seem to be getting their house in order. They have a good structure in place at underage level. There's good leagues, there's good standard of football, there's representative sides then going playing in various competitions around Ireland, and all that produces, you know, quality players with a good approach to football. They're well managed. They've done well actually at various national competitions this year. You know, under 12, there was a team managed by Kevin McHugh of Finn Harps, got to an All-Ireland final, got beaten, then they won the tournament in the Foyle Cup, which was great for them, you know. And it's wee stories like that you pick up on, and you watch those teams during the year and you see how they're going to get on. They go from round to round, and they're all enjoying their football, but they're being well looked after in a league that's well structured.
Yep. And that's just back to Ollie Horgan, that's where he cut his cloth as well. He started at grassroots, and look at him now, he's worked his way up to Finn Harps manager.
Yeah, absolutely, and I suppose Ollie's also manager of the Irish schoolboys team for the best part of the last decade, so, you know, maybe Harps did see something there after all. And Jeremy touched on it there, isn't it great to see somebody like Kevin McHugh, you know, a local hero, going back now to the grassroots at the end of his career and putting something back and to the local game. And those young fellas, you know, we touched on it about our earlier sports people, they have somebody to look up to in Kevin McHugh. So when he comes into that dressing room to give them a team talk, by God, they're going to listen. And it's great to see that structure of top senior players, because too often we lost good senior players in Donegal, and they walked away from the game when they finished playing. So it's fantastic to see the likes of Kevin McHugh, and I think James Doherty was along with them with that side, putting back something back in and getting a wee bit of success.
Dermot touched on the underage structures, and now you have a case, Finn Harps, with an academy, and there's a lot of agreement with the clubs that wasn't there before, and that, I think, is also going to bear fruit as well. And let's not forget, at a junior level, the likes of Rathmullen, Celtic and Carndonagh. I mean, it's been a good year for soccer in the county.
Yeah, it has.